Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Yes, Tuesday's on my favorite days. I know we just tried this a few moments ago, but we're going to do it again. You know, I like radio because people don't have to see my face. So sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And you have those feelings of embarrassment and everything, but that's okay. That's why I like the pre-recorded shows. We can go back, you know.
Come on.
I have a show on Saturday that's live, and I'm always forever stressed. My hands are itchy. I'm like, okay, so if I make a mistake, what's going to happen?
So it's not just me.
No, man. It's everybody. At least I know for me. And in this room, it must be everybody. But in studio today, and you're listening to us again on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. And of course, if you're listening to us on any of our streams, we're on the raisingmenshow.com. That's RZNGMEN. That's the raisingmenshow.com. So in studio with me today, Josiah Lopez and his wife, Amber Lopez. Tell us about who you are. I'm excited to get to the topic.
Yeah.
They tell me I talk too fast. So I'm trying to slow it down.
I think I'm in good company with you here.
Oh, man, I am excited. When you came in the house, you know, we recorded in the studio in my house, and my kids, two of the youngest boys, were laying on the floor. And I thought to myself, okay, Lord, what am I going to do with them? I need to be able to move them. I'm like, well, no, it's spring break. They're going to be all right. They know. And I said, oh,
you're raising men, man.
Dude,
come on.
Dude. But it goes with the topic, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us today. Yeah. The Lord put something on your heart. Tell us where you're from, and then get right to the topic, because I want us to get there.
Let's go. My name is Josiah Lopez, so I'm the Generations Pastor at Lighthouse. I'm in the seventh year pastoring there, and I have my wife, Amber, with me here.
Yeah, we pastor together, the students there at Lighthouse in Chula Vista, and I lead worship. We lead worship together sometimes, also just everything we do for people, for God.
Now, I've seen you two minister together. And separately. And it's awesome. So those of you who don't know what Chula Vista is, this is Chula Vista, California. So now we air on the air out of Danville, Virginia.
Yeah.
But hey, Danville, if you want to have some great worship leaders and a person to bring the word and sing and minister to all generations, this two right here, I've seen them in action. I've been blessed more than once.
And you'll be in San Diego too. So come on vacation.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. That's it. So tell us, what do you do as Generations Pastor? Then get in and tell us what the Lord's put on your heart today.
So Generations Pastor is kind of the language for someone who pastors junior high students, high school students, and young adults. So we kind of take like youth and young adult pastor and we squish it in. When we came on, we had kids that were in fourth grade. So I had fourth, fifth, and sixth. Ooh. And then I had seventh and eighth. That was a different group. Ooh. Then I had high school and young adults. And some of those young adults, they were like, not young adults, you know, they're like 35, 36, 42, you know. So I had like from fourth grade to 40, and
it's like mom adults.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
I had to take off my hat and, you know, try to figure out how to navigate between those.
Well,
things,
so you can teach my whole house.
I don't know.
I got a sixth grader, I got a seventh grade, no, six, eight, 9 and 10.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
You got an army, man.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're killing me, dude.
Well, thanks for inviting us in here. Yeah. It's an honor to be here, and I love what you're doing, and just your heart for people, specifically men. And so I was thinking yesterday, I was thinking about the difference between transparency and vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I think a little bit, most of the time we use those words almost interchangeably.
Yeah.
I certainly have, and I think in church and kind of kingdom, we actually throw those words around like it's a buzzword now, you know.
Yeah.
Just some vulnerability here. I have a bent towards some manipulation.
Oh.
Even from a kid. I learned how to get my way with things. There's five siblings, you know, and I'm one of the younger ones. So I kind of learned how to navigate my way to manipulate and get what I needed, whether it be more food or
you need the attention there, whatever you want,
right?
The gifts,
get whatever,
whatever
I want.
Yeah.
I read How to Win Friends and Influence People when I was like 12, and I was like, I wasn't wise enough to know not to use it as a tool.
Well,
right?
You were a pro then, right?
I was a pro, literally. So what I found, and maybe what some of you found, is you can be transparent with somebody, and because you are, they'll open up to you.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And it's a rule of reciprocity.
Yeah.
And so I found myself being transparent, and people would be vulnerable back.
Sure.
I just want to distinguish between the two. What I've found is that, you know, if I tell you, Craig, or you tell me how much money you make a year, I might be impressed.
Yeah.
And I might feel like you're really opening up, but it didn't cost you anything.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
If anything, maybe it opened a window and now I just feel more highly of you.
Yeah.
But because I felt like that you shared something with me, now I'm going to share something with you.
Mm.
And you can exchange your transparency, which didn't cost you anything, for my vulnerability, which does.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
I felt like you were giving me a window.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I as a leader, sometimes I think we can use almost transparency as a tool.
Mm, okay.
We find ourselves getting information from people.
Sure.
And
trust
from people because you really feel like they're opening up.
Yeah.
But this season has been one where I feel like the Lord is showing me the difference, and vulnerability actually cost me something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vulnerability is not for everybody, but I think there are specific times where I think that's where the that's kind of where the healing comes in vulnerability.
That's good. That's good.
Even I'll just give you an example, but we talk about a lot of times we talk about what we used to struggle with.
Sure, right? Sure.
And our testimony is like, you know, and God brought me through that.
Yeah.
And we always talk about everything in past tense.
Sure.
I think that's transparency sometimes. Vulnerability is what I'm struggling with now.
Right now. I was going to ask you that right now. Yeah. Now, so do you find that you use this in practice right now in being vulnerable and transparent? Or how do you transfer between the two?
Yeah. I think not everybody gets my vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
And so I've got to navigate that.
Yeah.
But I think what it comes down to for me is being authentic.
Yeah.
Because transparency is a tool when I'm not authentic.
Yeah.
Vulnerability and transparency, they balance each other when I decide to be real and authentic in who I am and not try to put some filter on, you know, oh, this is this and this is this and I'm going to use these, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And Amber and I have been kind of talking about this because we've been on a journey. I think as leaders, it's really easy to be on a one-on-one with somebody and you know, they're sharing and you're sharing and you kind of want to get them to share more. Or you want to dig in a little more. And
sure.
So you find yourself navigating these two things. And I think being authentic is really the way that it's the foundation that holds it together.
Well, I love the fact that you guys are teaching it at a young age to the students that you're teaching, because if the generations that are behind us can learn that now, how to be authentic as well as transparent at the right time with the right people led by the Holy Spirit, then that changes the trajectory of their lives. So they don't have to worry about living in the social media worm where we live in right now, where everything is, look at my life, look at them. And is it really authentic out there? Mm. Is it really genuine what they're doing? Or is it just, hey, go take this picture real quick. Okay, you hold the baby over here, make him sure they're quiet in the room. And because we go do this fun lifestyle like we don't have any rules.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do you help men navigate that? Because right now, we talked about before too, we're off air, but us as men, we have this hardcore role that we're taught to be.
Yeah.
How do you help men understand that it's okay to take off that, not the armor of God, no, but that hard, stony exterior that we are supposed, that we are taught to have as men?
I think David is a great example of that.
That's good.
Right? David is he's a warrior, but we see him going back and if you look at the Bible, you kind of read the Psalms and you parallel them with the story.
Yeah.
You actually see like this what seems to be a contrast of these two, what you see almost on the outside and then how he's feeling on the inside.
Mm, that's
good. But David gives us this thing where he was never less of a warrior when he was on his knees, on his face before the Lord, saying like, hey, I need you desperately.
Sure.
And Jesus shows us an incredible example of that. You gave a great example. Like, I don't think as men, we're really trained to be vulnerable because vulnerability feels like weakness.
Yeah.
And never show your weakness. And you know what I mean? Like it feels like to be real and authentic about what's happening on the inside is, it feels like weakness.
Yeah.
But I was caught in this thought yesterday about Jesus. Jesus, often we look at the way that he lived, and sometimes the way that he lived, it was so beautiful, and we can almost miss how he died.
Mm, that's
good. He was so intentional with how he lived and how he did anything. Even if you just unpack like the little things that he said or the little nuances, you're like, oh, how did I miss that, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at how Jesus died, Jesus didn't die a specific way as a byproduct of a culture.
Sure.
He chose every part of it.
Yeah.
And so follow me with this picture where Jesus is hanging on a cross. He's naked in front of his mom. Mm. Right? He's on a hill.
Yeah.
Surrounded by people who hate him.
Yeah.
And he chose that.
Yeah.
So he actually had the strength as the word became flesh to do whatever he wanted, but he chose this moment to die in vulnerability. And I was just thinking yesterday, man, I want to live in vulnerability, but also like I want to learn how to die. I want to learn how to like die in vulnerability, not just in moments or where I'm choosing these things, but he gave us an incredible example that vulnerability is not weakness.
And I love the fact that the Lord's giving you this in our Easter Advent Lenten season right now. We're taking it to the cross right now. Yeah. So many churches, I'm sure, you know, at your church as well, you are getting geared up for Easter services, you know, 17 services at Center Point Church. I'm sure your church is going to have, you know, 16, 17 yourselves down there. And when the thought becomes, how can we get people to come in? Mm-hmm. But what are we giving them when they get there?
Yeah.
I know we give them, a great, service done in excellence, but at the same time, where you're talking about understanding how he died.
Yeah.
We kind of gloss, we give the rugged cross, we give the nails, we give the big parts, but where you just went, the naked in front of your mom, none of us want to be naked in front of our kids, let alone each other half the time. And you're like, that's serious, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real.
I think as a husband and wife.
Yeah.
There's a vulnerability that you almost grow into.
Sure.
You know, what year one, you kind of like explore some. It seems like every single year there's like a vulnerability that you grow into. And then you grow into almost like this just comfortability in the vulnerability where you can live in it and like there's no filter. You talked about like, Instagram. There's no filter because there's such an intimacy.
Yeah.
We're the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Like he's choosing this almost as like an example of like, hey, this is what it looks like. You're my bride.
Yeah.
I'm here before you.
Sure.
Nothing between us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing between us. And I'm a preacher. So I want to preach, I want to go back to the garden.
We going to say amen. There's no problem. We're just not going
to
take
it. I want to go back to Adam and Eve in that vulnerability that was always the intention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, how did we lose it? We know how we lose it. Of course, the eating of the tree. No, I get it. How do we get back to what should be the question I asked?
Yeah. Yeah, you go for it. I got another preacher here with me, so go.
No, there's so many good things, and I think like we can talk in big concepts about this because it's powerful and it's heavy, but in application, we need it to be broken down to simplicity. And sometimes if we're thinking of all the what's and like how do I choose vulnerability over transparency? Mm-hmm. How do I not use it as manipulation? How do I know when I am? I think if we're like getting really, really into the what's and we forget, like it's really simple at the core. It's your motive.
Yeah.
It's authenticity. It's honesty.
Yeah.
Manipulation of transparency says, how can I make this person feel like I can be trusted?
Yeah.
Vulnerability says like, how can I make sure I can be trusted?
That's good.
With this person's vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's not about, I think the filter generation just combats intimacy at every level.
Yeah, that's good.
But
that's
it's good. Not about what is this person going to hear me say and how are they going to feel when they hear it? It's like, what am I actually saying and what that's do good. I actually mean? If we are fighting and contending for honesty and if authenticity is always our motive, we don't really have to think about like, am I right here? Am I wrong here? Yeah. Am I doing the right thing here and saying the right thing? Take the filters off. Say what you actually mean and say what's real to the person in front of you. And at the core, that's really what what is vulnerable now, is the truth.
Because now you're at a serious point here, because you guys are with a generation right now that's based on likes, followers, and the whole nine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, and if my likes and subscribers and followers don't really like my life, what mm-hmm. what if they don't really like me yeah. on the inside?
Yeah.
I mean, I was following a Dr. Peggy. She's a great friend of mine. She actually is in Colorado. She's got a thing right now. She's publishing a lot on social media where these last series of high school shootings, the kids who were the survivors are committing suicide.
Yeah.
Even the parents of some of the yeah. kids who were lost are committing suicide. So I'm how do we get our kids' mindsets out of the like, the follow, subscribers to be the authentic person who is vulnerable and transparent at the same time? How do we do that? How do we model that for yeah. them?
Well, I always feel a little strange giving parenting advice because I've only got one and she's three. But at the same time, I've got spiritual sons and daughters yeah. that are, you know, one that's my age.
Sure.
You know, so, older. And so I've got, I do have a vantage point. So I don't want to speak from a place of authority as a parent, but I can speak from a place of authority as a leader and sure. seeing these. Sometimes I think we're asking the wrong questions. How do we do this as if it's a task list to something to teach?
Okay.
And I think it has to be something that we have to live.
That's good.
I don't think we're going to talk our students or our children or our congregations out of the things that they've been.
Yeah.
They've got to see fathers and mothers living this.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is, that's the rub as a parent, a father.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Because it feels like if showing my kids my vulnerability is weakness, I need to teach my boys how to be strong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's good.
So we're not going to talk them out of it. We're going to live them out of it.
Ooh, that's good.
I think that's how it's going to work.
So as you're doing, so a lot of parents though, do we join the social media generation with them? Do you suggest? I mean, now granted, we should be doing this in our house, because I always tell my boys, just look, as where I'm at and where we're going as a family group and as a unit, I have to be the same person inside of the house with you
absolutely.
As I am outside the house with you. I can't be whatever holier than thou, whatever guide accessible and vulnerable to everyone else. But when we get home, I give nothing back to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As parents, we got to be able to work that line and be both.
That's solid.
So when though you may be a parent of one, but actually the spiritual father to many, how are you able to, and how are you walking that out and demonstrating that to them as you go?
Yeah, I think if the conversation that I end up having a lot is a conversation about identity and looking at like who you are, because I think that's the disconnect a little bit in this generation is I want to present something that I'm not.
Ooh, speak. Yes.
If I feel bent toward always presenting something that I'm not, it's because I don't feel secure in actually who I am.
Ooh, yes.
And so I think if there's something that we're speaking and a language that we're presenting, because I believe language creates culture, then we have to, the conversation has to be about who they are. Mm. And as fathers, affirming who they are.
Sure.
And affirming the uniqueness of who they are. And I think fathers have a unique grace to affirm identity. And mothers have a different grace, and we'll talk about that.
Exactly. So we are listening to the Raising Men Show right here on WKBY 1080 AM. Man, I love these two in studio right now. You guys are going to have to come back. We're definitely coming right back after break. We're going to get back in talking about identity. Oh, my gosh. I got Goosey sitting here talking. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And man, before the break, we got into the topic of identity. So we're talking about that. What does identity look like to us? Amber, I know you, during the break, you were talking about that. You said, I just couldn't wait to get to identity. And then when Josiah brought it up, you were excited. What does identity look like, and how do we shape it?
Yeah, well, we're kind of talking in terms of social media and parenting and all of that. I think that social media will answer questions for your children that you've left unanswered as a parent. And if they don't know who they are, their followers will tell them who they are. Wow. And so it really comes down to, like, what are the questions that they're left with, and why do they have them? Yeah. You know, if they don't have a solid, grounded truth of who they are and whose they are and everything that comes with that, man, they'll be scrambling and desperate for somebody to let them know,
yeah,
where am I valuable and with what am I valuable and mm-hmm. who should I be? Who's going to be accepted? How do I make people happy? And social media, the reason that we find ourselves at this kind of crossroads of, like, is it good? Is it terrible? You know, it's done some great things for society. It's done some really terrible things. And Josiah is an incredible example of a father. Even with our three-year-old little girl, she hasn't, you know, come up into teenage years and all these things, but that little girl knows who she is. Yeah, and she knows 100% that she is loved and adored, and that she's a daughter, not only our loved, accepted daughter, but the daughter of the King. I think we have created a generation of orphans, spiritual orphans, that the only reason that they will let the world tell them who they are is because they don't know whose they are. And so we combat that with communication amongst our families. Like, our parents have to be having conversations with children, and it can't, and even like back end conversations that say, like, hey, you know, what are the kinds of comments you're getting on things that you're posting? How does it make you feel?
Yeah.
Does that bring questions to your mind? Well, you know, this is what the Bible says about who you are. Well, you know, that doesn't match up with the word here. But if we're just letting them flail about in social media land, and hope for the best, we're doing them a huge disservice
she
as
said,
parents.
Hope for the best. So what you're saying, though, is as a parent, we've got to be able to have those hard conversations that most of us as parents are terrified to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Beforehand and back end conversations, both.
Yeah, because as parents, half the time, at least for me, I'm like, okay, do I tell them?
Yeah.
Do I tell them what I'm really thinking? Do I really tell them what I did in my past? Because as a parent, we want our kids to think the best of us and not be embarrassed or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're talking about that's that vulnerability part.
Absolutely. Yeah. Powerful vulnerability.
Yeah. That's going to cost you something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be so much greater for you along the way.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you shared that, man. Yeah. As a amazing father who's leading those, you still have those questions. Mm-hmm. And those come sometimes... I think as a father, I feel like there are questions that I can't ask other fathers because it makes me feel like less of a father.
Well, so here's the thing. So that's why, one of the reasons why we started the show. Mm-hmm. So if you asked me again, what was the purpose of these shows?
Yeah.
That's what this is. Mm-hmm. It has to be a safe place where we have real talk about real life. And that's the tagline for the show. So though this plays on the air and we get some topics, we go, oh my gosh, do you really want to say that on the air? And you really want to share that? I'm like, well, you know what? Yeah.
Well, thank you for creating this space. I think in eternity you will see the impact.
Absolutely.
You know, you'll get the analytics, but in eternity you'll see the impact of fathers and mothers who leaned into what was shared and could have some conversations that they didn't feel empowered to.
Yeah.
Amber says sometimes that every conversation that you don't have with your student or your child, someone else will.
Man, that's it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they're going to get the information somewhere.
Yeah.
They're either going to get it from you or someone else. this is not a new thing. We're talking about social media world, but Paul said this, we have many teachers, but not many fathers. And I know that he was speaking in a spiritual sense, but I think what he was doing was he was highlighting the difference between a teacher who punches in, punches out, you know, not literally, but, you know, sometimes the bell rings and then we're out. And I think when the bell rings, a teacher steps out and a father steps in. But as spiritual fathers, as spiritual parents, if you're a, you know, if you're older and your kids are already grown, sometimes it feels like that that's the passing of an era. Like I'm not, you know, okay, I'm not this anymore. And I see these champion fathers to adult children who feel like maybe the father kind of role is over now. They're the advice giver. And I, there's such a grace that they carry to affirm a generation. And maybe it's not their kid, but maybe it's that young kid. And they have such a powerful voice to affirm and call things out. And I think sometimes the unfortunate part is, I'm looking at this from a church lens is, you know, somebody's the past somebody's the worship leader, right? And then now they're 40 years old, and here comes this young guy. A leader feels threatened by the young guy. A father champions him on. A father says, like, hey, get up on my shoulders so you can see further than I could. And so I think that for some people, there's a shift that's got to happen where they go from a leader, which is valuable, a teacher, which is valuable, to a father, which is like, I want you to go further than I can. You're not my competition. You're my child.
See, that generational change right there, that's a generational thinking shift that we've got to get to. Because it's a lot of it's happening. Because if we don't do it, our kids are lost. The kids generationally a lot. And we put that in our bloodline, in their bloodline, for generations to come to wrestle with the spiritual orphan that you mentioned. When my kids were left with just me, one of the things I did tell them is that we're going to get up every day. We're going to shower. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep it moving. And I knew that I wanted to stay attached to them because I didn't want them to feel that they had lost both of us. You know, even though I was still here with them, didn't want them to lose me just to, you know, a bottle of alcohol. I mean, I had those days. You know, it lose me to some, you know, drugs and alcohol. I had those days. But I didn't want to leave a curse on them by putting that into their bloodline at the same time. But as men, even in this cultural generation where money is not the, everything, but it's the thing that we need to survive, and we've made choices to live beyond our means. So there's a lot of cases of parents have been disconnected from their children. Now, I loved with you guys when you all minister because you bring your daughter with you. There's certain cases, a lot of times, people who minister and serve a lot, they let their kids sit on the sidelines and goes, here you go sit with, and there's moments when you need to do that because you've got to have that happen, but not as a rule of thumb. You all minister and your daughters, you all tag team, and there's people that come alongside you to care for her while you're ministering. And you don't just leave your daughter with anybody. I mean, I watch. I'm the sound guy. I was watching. I was like, man, okay, there's that person. This person, well, I appreciate you. Bless you. But you don't let everybody just get her. And like you said, your daughter knows exactly who she should go to and who she wants to go to when. But when you all are ministering, that girl is like, you know, but that's incredible because there's a gap that as parents we let get bigger. And I'd encourage you all to not let that get as big as it can.
Man, I appreciate you speaking into that. Because it's something that's easy to be intentional about at three. But it creates its own at five. It creates more struggles at six. And now a teenager, and you're like, am I dragging him with me or am I asking him to be involved? And I just give you the space, man, to keep on speaking into our lives in that way. You're an incredible father, and I've seen you. It seems like everything you touch, you do well. You got that Joseph thing on you. And so, those are not, that's not lip service. Like, I watch your life and I appreciate you. And I think there's so much to be said about fathers that kind of going back to what you said, like, we're going to do this every day. Making this decisions to do things every day. And when you set a standard as a father, as a mother, you set a standard and it's clear, it also creates its own filter for who else can come into and speak into that lives. And a disparity when someone is saying something where someone's like, wait a minute, no, that's not what I've ever heard. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so you help the child understand when people are speaking things that aren't life or, you know, or contrary to what's been spoken.
Sure.
There's a clear standard. Like that's not who I am.
Exactly. And that's a tough spot to always be, because there are moments that I have that I'm like, I don't feel like doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just, it's like almost like if I don't know if you guys are dog people or not. If you have a dog that's on a leash, a dog knows as far as it can go is when the master got the leash. And if you kind of let it go a little bit, the dog will challenge you and it'll try to run off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some days when as parents, we decide, you know, I'm going to put the leash down in the corner. Yeah. I don't feel like it.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
And that dog is everywhere.
Yeah.
And to get that dog back to understand, it's like, no. You got to get back. It'll fight you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As parents, so often we've allowed that to happen just because we're tired.
Yeah.
Parenting well is not for the faint of
heart. No.
It's not. No. I think that, you know, there are a lot of parents in the world, but parenting well is a choice, and it's pretty much every day a new choice to parent well.
Every moment.
every moment. And it's challenged all along the way. I appreciate what you said about, you know, referencing that orphan generation. I believe that we're living in what is a very tangible call for fathers.
Yeah.
Very tangible, both physical and spiritual. And I believe that, you know, fathers and mothers, but I believe that that God is raising up spiritual fathers in the absence of physical fathers, for sure.
Yeah.
But that it is His beautiful way of restoring this generation and identity and affirmation and all of the things that we're seeing the bad fruit of the lack of fathers. And so I think that's how He's restoring the generation, is through the familial model that starts with mothering and fathering well.
Yeah.
I think both for physical parenting and spiritual parenting, it can be really overwhelming when you consider all the things, all the things, especially when you've chosen to do it well. And for me and for my husband with Shiloh, and then we're always learning with our spiritual kids and with Shiloh. But what I have noticed for myself is first of all, like, we had to decide who were we raising. Mm. You have to look into the future. Like, in the moment, she's two, and, you know, you can shush her and you can say, you know, be quiet, be seen and not heard in this moment. But if you're raising a world changer, you better not shush her too long.
Yeah, because you break her spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to teach her now that her voice matters for her to use it when she's 20 to change the world.
Yeah.
So when you have a clear picture of who you're raising in the future, you will honor her now like you want her to be honored then.
Now help the people understand. When you're still married, when you were getting married, where did that thought of parenting come from? Did you all sit down and say, this is what we want? Because it's so haphazard right now with kids. Yeah. We're pregnant. Oh, that's nice.
Absolutely.
You have a family plan?
Intentionality is like a lost art, I think, in marriage and in parenting and leadership.
Yeah.
But there's a new generation that's not okay with just fumbling through life.
Yeah,
and
good.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful to say, like, I want to do well. And if I don't know how, I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a student of parenting or whatever it looks like that I want to do well. But I think that we have this learner generation that's really beautiful. And so for us, when we got married 10 years ago, we were young and dumb. Nothing was intentional. I'm not going to act like, you know, it's been this way forever. I think that we, you know, we had our seasons of learning for sure.
Lots of grace.
Lots of mistakes. Just a lot. But we waited, you know. I was 30 when I had Shiloh. And so by then it mattered a lot, you know, and we were intentional. We did decide like who we want to raise. We knew before Shiloh was really a thing that we were raising a champion and she would change the world. And we believe that every single day. And so we treat her that way. we make sure that she knows that when she has something to say, we're going to hear it. We may not agree with it, sure. and we may still enforce whatever yeah. we said,
right.
but it's going to be with honor, and sure. and she's going to, we're going to expect honor in return. But all of the things that I feel like sometimes we project this person that we're raising, mm. but right now they're just toddlers, and
yeah.
and they don't deserve anything, and you didn't work for anything, and we have all these built-in kind of, you know, autopilot responses in parenting that if you really think about who you're raising, it'll challenge some of our autopilot, you know, do what I say, not what I do, and don't, it's because I said so. Well, do you want somebody who like has their own thoughts?
Yeah.
Then they might challenge some things that you say, yeah. and you might actually need to yeah. formulate a response in real time. But again, it's intentionality, looking at who you want. And then the second thing is really, really considering like authenticity again in parenting. Mm-hmm. Because I have students that come to me and say like, my parents just don't understand.
Mm.
They just don't understand.
Yeah.
And I know their parents. And I'm like, well, I think actually they know exactly what you're going through, but there's a lack of authenticity in parenting, and it's fear-based.
That's it.
Yeah. It's fear-based, yeah. because if we tell them the truth, what are they going to think? Yeah. Am I going to lose control? Yeah. Am I not going to be able to hold them to the standard if they know that I did this when I was young?
Yeah.
If I'm vulnerable with them here and yeah. say, hey, I understand because I struggled here, am I then not going to be able to come behind with consequence or with something to say when they fail? And how am I going to parent them through something that I just admitted that I didn't do well in yeah. as a kid?
That's
it's
really good.
All fear-based. Yeah. But yeah. again, when you're running to truth and authenticity, you take the filter off. You stop thinking like, what are they going to think if I tell them the truth?
Yeah.
You value the truth, period.
Period.
Yeah. And sometimes that says like, you know what? I don't know if I'm doing the right thing by sharing this with you. I'm kind of actually intimidated to be this open with you.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Say what's true. When yeah. you don't know what to say what's true. Yeah. And I think that it applies in parenting.
And then we want the student, and then we want our kids to be honest with us.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
my gosh.
Yeah.
Is that not the biggest hypocrisy of all? We want to be him, then be honest
yeah.
with us.
Yeah.
Tell mm-hmm. us the truth. Don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
But we're lying to them.
Yeah.
We'll never tell you.
And it feels like it feels like safety, right? In yeah. our mind, it's not that.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
feels like we're protecting them.
Yeah.
We're controlling them.
But in a marriage, we wouldn't call it that.
No.
We wouldn't say, mm-mm. I'm not going to tell you this because I'm going to protect you. That would be a lack of intimacy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But in parenting, we're like, oh, no. Because it's fear-based. I love what you said.
Yeah, but it's fear-based. And when parents lose that fear-based control, then what do we have? We have a child that begins to lead or follow our leadership
yeah.
mm-hmm. out of respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if we don't do anything that's worthy of leading and following,
mm-hmm. yeah.
where are they going to go?
Yeah. This was last week.
Mm-hmm.
I had a student who ended up in a 72-hour watch because the school felt like she was going to
sure.
commit suicide
sure.
something there. So I bring her mom and her into my office
mm-hmm.
and I start asking some questions and I ask her mom with her, I was like, have you ever had suicidal thoughts? And she just kind of sat there for a second and she's like, yeah. And I was like, do you want to talk about those? And she's like, not in front of my daughter.
Hmm.
Realizing her daughter she's hearing this for the first time.
Right.
Her
right.
daughter who is having these suicidal thoughts is
and
hearing
it's not
from
new.
Her mom
and it's not
from
new.
The first time Oof. That she has. And I said, and she said, not in front of her daughter. So her daughter walked out. We had this conversation about, she asked her daughter to leave.
Yeah.
We had this conversation about some of her history.
Sure.
And I'm like, man, you are equipped.
Yeah.
You are mm-hmm. equipped to help her.
Sure.
But it's like, no, I can't have that conversation. And, I almost like, I don't think you need me. I think she needs you.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
she needs your vulnerability.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
There's so often our kids need us,
mm-hmm.
but we are not strong enough or willing enough to give ourselves to them.
Yeah. Why?
Fear.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because my son, my 15-year-old had the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
He actually wrote what he said would have been thought of as a suicide note.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting in youth group. Writing it.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, okay. So he brings this to
yeah.
me and he tells me, oh, Dad, I wrote what could have been considered suicide. No, and let me see it and everything. We talk through it. And I said, well, where are you at? You know, what are we talking about? He goes, I don't want to kill myself. This is when the guy wrote that I had to go back and think about if I were to kill myself, I thought about the impact on my family. Mm-hmm. And then my thought was, okay, I either share with him, become vulnerable to mm-hmm. him and tell him that I've had those thoughts
yeah. Yeah.
throughout the course of my life. And I've tried to kill myself before, mm-hmm. you know, after their mother had died. I've had a vision of myself jumping through a plate glass window from the second floor balcony of our home that we used to have in Marietta. Wow. And I don't understand in the dream what would have caused me to do that.
Yeah.
So I had no clarity whatsoever, but I had to let him know that I understand why you would have those thoughts.
Yeah,
because I've struggled with them for years. I said, but we're going to work through that together so that you don't know that you're by yourself. You don't need to think that you're, you know, crazy or there's something wrong with you. You're different in a bad way, but I struggle with that.
So what was that journey like then?
For me or with that conversation with him?
Like, you make the decision to share this thing, which mm-hmm. is, you know, like, I think people listening, like, that's terrifying. I would never, right?
It was terrifying.
But what was that journey like then, walking that with him now, instead of you guys kind of in isolation, you know?
Well, it was, I think, some of the best things for us.
Wow. Wow.
Because it stemmed from the fact I need to know what he was doing. Mm-hmm. I need to know what was in his head. And as a parent, for me, I need to know where all my kids are.
Yeah.
Not from a control freak standpoint, mm-hmm. but I need to know where they are relationally, spiritually, physically, and mentally, because I need to be able to know as a father how to shepherd them, how to lead them, how to help them become the best part of who they are supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I didn't take that on, then I was going to be a poor father to them. And I don't want to ever be thought of as a poor father to any of them. So I needed to tell them. So it was terrifying. My hands were trembling and I just had to sit there. We were in a closed room by ourselves and we were just talking. And I had to make sure I kept eye contact with him and make sure he knew that I wasn't stumbling or I wasn't looking away trying to find my thoughts.
Yeah.
It was, this was present. The authentic present part of where I was. And this is where your dad had struggled with.
Hmm.
This is also it was on the heels of a night when we were all driving home. And we were just I was having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
I had had a moment where life for me was just a mess. And some people were just they just weren't nice to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was angry.
Yeah.
It was dark. It was probably after 8 or 9 o'clock. We should have been home already. And I don't even know why we were out. But we were coming home from wherever we were. And I just began crying and venting to my four young boys in the car. And I don't even remember what I was saying to them. But whatever I was saying caused a couple of them to start crying.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got done ranting and raving, the whole car is crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my 15-year-old saying, Dad, I wish I had died instead of Mom.
Wow.
When he said that, I had to pull over.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed to deal with that right away.
Absolutely.
Because I told him, that's not your choice. That was never your choice. And it's not your fault. She's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom was given the exact number of days that she was given by God. And when those days ran out, that was it. And you switching places with her would not have changed. It cannot even be possible. So we don't even want to give that as any room in your life. So we dealt with that
mm-hmm.
as a group of five of us sitting in a car in the middle of the night over off of, we were off of Winchester Road, mm-hmm. over there behind Ziggy somewhere, parked in an empty parking lot, crying, hugging each other till we could get each other. So it wasn't like we could just rush away.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
As parents, so often we shy away from the rough stuff.
That's not weakness, man. That's not weakness.
It takes so much strength.
There's so much strength in that, you know?
And it's harder to do that than to not have a conversation at all.
Yeah.
And so many families mourn in isolation and the loss of a family member.
Yeah.
That's actually the most common scenario.
Yeah.
What you're describing is so unique and takes so much strength. It's beautiful, that journey. And I believe that your family and you'll see the fruit of that in your children and then in generations.
Yeah. That's it, right there.
Yeah. Generational
blessing. Because you're shaping fathers.
Yeah. You absolutely are.
Which fathers shape generations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like the healing oil that flows in that moment, it actually shapes what's acceptable and okay.
Yeah.
And it implants a DNA that says, this is not weakness, this is strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
For next generation, which will go next generation.
Yeah.
Your great-great-grandkids will be fathered well through sorrow because of that moment and moments like it. That's incredible.
And that's what we needed to have. And I didn't do it for that reason.
No.
You know,
because
but
that wouldn't be authentic.
Be manipulative.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You did it from love yeah. and from care for your sons yeah. to have a safe space. This is what I think is really important for our listeners, is that there, some of us are like further into the parenting journey sure. and it feels like, well, I'm way off of that. How sure. do I actually get to where I have a real conversation with my kids? I know yeah. as youth pastors, we see just the craziest gaps in communication, sure. the craziest spaces. So for those parents who feel like, I've never had a real conversation, apparently. After hearing that, I don't know what it's like to be authentic with my kids. Where do I start?
Sure.
I would say to that two things. The first is, Your kids have to feel safe with you yeah. to have conversations like that. Yeah. And the way that you let them know that you're a safe place for them, ask the questions. And it's not a broad question. It's not, hey, how are you? It's like, hey, I realize that we haven't had a conversation since grandma passed away.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
Yeah.
How are you dealing with it? How are you processing through the emotions? Are there any things, anything that you've thought, any questions that have come up that, is there anything that you, you know, feel angry about? Ask specific questions.
Yeah. Sure.
Create a safe place and space for them to say, I'm not okay. This is what, these are the questions I have. These are the things I've been dealing with. Yeah. These are the emotions that I can't really wrap my mind around or get out of. And be their safe place.
Yeah.
Don't refer them to anyone else to do your job yeah. of healthy parenting.
Sure.
That's first. The second and only other thing, because I want to keep it simple, first is ask the question. Second, what I hear a lot is that people are fearful of asking the questions because they're afraid they won't have the answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And man, fear is crippling. Fear is so crippling. Yeah. It will keep us from doing well in pretty much every area of our life if it's driven by fear. So fear is only crippling when you aren't committed to authenticity.
Yeah.
Because yeah. authenticity says, when I feel fear, I will say that I feel fear and it will be okay. Mm-hmm. So you come to your kid and you say, hey, how have you been dealing with the death of so-and-so? And they come back, they say, I've been questioning God. Why did he let them die?
Yeah.
Now, if you are not committed to authenticity, that will be a very fearful situation for a parent who is afraid that they're going to say the wrong thing
sure.
and make their child question God, question his goodness.
Yeah.
Authenticity leads you to truth. Authenticity says, you know what? I've had those questions as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm struggling also, if that's the truth.
Yeah.
If not, you tell the truth. But yeah. also sometimes when questions come, being able to say, I don't know the answer to that. Let's pray about it together.
Yeah.
Let's look in the Word.
So the trick here is that the parents have to be able to walk through and not fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And not
even
control.
And not that we're not going to be afraid. There's a difference between being afraid and being fearful.
But don't walk out of your fear.
Exactly.
Don't make decisions from your fear.
Exactly. We're going to take a break. We are long overdue for a break. And we're going to get to this last segment. Oh my gosh. You're listening to the Raising Men Show. Lord has blessed us with two outstanding guests. You all are going to have to come back. But right now, of course, you're going to come back after the break. We'll be right back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show. And I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
For something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoba, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life. All right, we're back in the last segment. I'm going to throw this right to Josiah. We've got the last 6 minutes in this segment.
Yeah, there's a place in a conversation about fathers, spiritual fathers, and the impact of spiritual fathers. There's a small book in the New Testament, Philemon, Onesimus, kind of, you see this story where Paul, who is the spiritual father to Philemon, is in prison now, and he meets Onesimus. Now, I don't even know how it all happened, but from what I understand, Onesimus was Philemon's servant who stole something from Philemon, so he ended up in prison, and he meets Paul there. Paul is a father, and so Paul writes this letter to Philemon, and he asked Philemon, as his spiritual son, he asks him, I want you to not just call Onesimus back and like let him be what he was before. But I want you to restore him, and I want him to be a brother to you. We see, actually, if you follow this story and you follow some of history, you see that Onesimus goes from a slave to then his journey is then he's a captive. Then he gets restored from captivity to a brother. And later on, Onesimus is a bishop. I don't see any other tie here except for that he had a father that called him out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what God has called us to as fathers, spiritual fathers, to restore people from places of captivity,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So many people living for God in a slave mindset without the freedom, yeah. Without the revelation of grace, feeling yeah. like that I'm going to earn my keep. Yeah. That what I'm going to do is going to get me to this place. And fathers come alongside and they say, hey, it doesn't matter what your position is, what your status in society is. I don't care where you've been, yeah. But let me tell you what I see. And let me tell you where you're going.
Yeah.
And so Paul comes alongside in this desperate, dark place. And he calls something out of Onesimus. And then he speaks to Philemon and just speaks restoration. And I just feel like that this God is raising up spiritual fathers in this generation. And you're one of them, man, to call people out of desperate situations, to call people who have made mistakes. Maybe they grew up slaves, you know, sure. quote unquote sure. slaves. And they found themselves in captivity because of some mistakes. But spiritual fathers come alongside and they pull people out of those things. They unlock those chains and they speak to who they are.
Yeah.
Because, man, it didn't matter that Onesimus was a captive, that a prisoner, because Paul saw a bishop.
Yeah.
And that's what I think fathers do, is that they don't see people for what they are. They
sure.
what they've done, they see them for who they can be. And so I feel a responsibility, almost a mandate in this generation to call people out and not, I think Chris Vallotton says that honor is seeing people for who they are without stumbling over what they've done
yeah,
or what they aren't.
That's good.
I probably screwed that up. But man, if we see people, children, sons and daughters for who they are, and we call those things out apart from fear, there's so much for them.
Yeah.
And I think we tear off these lies that have been spoken against them. We tear off these generational things, you know, a fatherless generation. And in that place, we come alongside as fathers to call them up to what God has called and see the bishop in all of them.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's awesome. Would you pray for our listeners on the way out?
Yeah. God, thank you so much for everybody listening here. We thank you for Craig and just what you've put in his heart to release to, man, people from all ages, and we thank you for the generational blessings that he is releasing. I pray for every listener. I pray that you'd empower us to see you as our Heavenly Father, God, and that we would step out of even our orphan mindset, step into the freedom of sons. We see your word over and over calling us out of what we've done and into who we are. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Man. I don't know what to tell you. I love Tuesdays.
That was so good.
Would you all come back again?
Oh, of course.
Well, I definitely.
We'll be here next Tuesday.
No problem. Not a problem. Well, next Tuesday, I'm going to be out of town. But the Tuesday after that, you're always welcome. I bless you all, man, just for grace and yeah, restoration and power.
Because
you guys have got a great mission and a great call on your lives. You guys are teaching and leading that generation right now. And I know they call them Gen X most of the time. But even the X is marking a spot, and they're in the right spot with you all. So I appreciate you all
that
for
coming. That was prophetic. You didn't even know it.
Hey,
that's the name of our youth.
Student ministry.
Really?
X movement, yeah.
Really?
It came from a vision of X marks a spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord does his thing.
Come on.
Yeah, wow, that's exciting. We'll see you all next week. You all have been listening to us right here on the Raising Men Show on WKBY 1080 AM, Chatham, Virginia. Also, listen to us on our archives that at theraisingmenshow.com. That's RZNGMEN show.com. All right, bless you all.
It's been a long time.
Reach up. You got it.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in, and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.